Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, ya da'afa ma hamidahu jamiu khalqihi kama yuhibbuhu wa yardahu. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad an-nabiyil ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. Allahumma faqihna fid din wa 'allimna al-Qur'an al-Hakim, rabbana zidna ilma. Allahumma aghnina bil ilm wa zayyinna bil hilm wa akrimna bit taqwa wa jammilna bil afiyah. Allahumma anfa'na bima 'allamtana wa 'allimna ma yanfa'una wa zidna ilma. Rabbana zidna ilma. اللهم آتي أنفسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. Today's topic is known as istiqamat, constancy in deeds, and that is the real big thing, to be constant. To be constant. I know I have a friend and he's really a boss in that. May Allah bless him. Whatever he starts, he's constant in that. Consistency known as istiqamat. In fact, there is a statement, al istiqamatu fawqa al karama, that istiqamat, consistency is even greater than a miracle. It's greater than a miracle to be consistent in Ramadan, out of Ramadan. Constancy in deeds. Maulana Tanwi rahmatullah alayhi said, tasawwuf, this path of tasawwuf, tariqa, tazkiya, demands istiqamat. It demands istiqamat, constancy of deeds. Besides, rational love is appointed over it. Rational love, aqli love, ikhtiyari love, love by choice, intellectual love, is appointed over this istiqamat. It is not instinctive not. Maulana is using some very intricate language, but inshallah Mufti Taqi will break it down for us. In tasawwuf, there is something known as hal. The Sufis, they call something which is hal, which means the state that you are in, your state, your condition. The word hal has two meanings, an involuntary condition and a voluntary constancy of deeds. Two things that hal could mean. An involuntary condition, a condition, a hal which you really don't have choice over, it just comes. And the other meaning is a voluntary constancy of deeds. In other words, istiqamat, steadfastness by way of choice. That is also a hal and a station. In the second sense, its arrangement is essential because that is promised. Fafil hadith, kadhalika al-iman idha qalatahu bashashatul qulub. Iman is like that when hearts are filled with its cheerfulness. Iman is like that when hearts are filled with its cheerfulness. Bukhari. So, in the second sense, when there is constancy of deeds, but to achieve this constancy of deeds, an arrangement, a tartib is essential, voluntary action is essential. And then subhanAllah, it becomes like second nature afterwards. كَذَلِكَ الْإِيمَانِ إِذَا قَالَتَهُ بَشَاشَةُ الْقُلُوبِ. Iman is like that when hearts are filled with its cheerfulness. Quran, wa fi kalami Allah ta'ala, faman yuridillahu an yahdiyahu. So anyone whom Allah wants to really guide and bless with hidayah and open up the doors of hidayah, what does he do? Yashrah sadrahu lil Islam. He opens his bosom, he opens up his chest to Islam. It is this hal that is referred to in tasawwuf. When anyone performs righteous deeds, then gradually, these deeds become easy to perform, and a condition of constancy grows. The condition of constancy, or istiqamat, is involuntary. Now understand it, it's deep. The condition of constancy, that condition of constancy, istiqamat, steadfastness, is involuntary. But it is voluntary, from another angle, it is voluntary in the sense that the means to achieve it, the means to it are voluntary. That is the righteous deeds. For example, love of Allah, hubbullah, which is wajib to grow. It's wajib to grow the love of Allah inside of you, because there is command in text to have it, as against interests and longing, which are not commanded anywhere. The love that is determined, the love that is determined is intellectual. It's aqli, ikhtiyari. While the intellectual love is voluntary. So the love, we are commanded to love Allah. But that love that we are commanded to is determined. It is intellectual. And the intellectual love is by choice, it's voluntary, as against natural love, which is involuntary. And Fasa Isa, but this definitely needs to be broken down. Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatum, explains it. Involuntary affairs are not questioned. This is a principle we should understand. The Maulana has mentioned two subjects. One, it is a universal principle that man is responsible for those tasks which are in his power. Those that are outside his authority are also outside his sphere of responsibility. Man is not bound to discharge them, neither is he commanded to receive them. The Quran says, "La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha." Allah does not charge a soul save to its capacity. Allah does not obligate a soul except with that which it has the power to bear. Let's talk about the first kind of hal. When man makes dhikr, a person starts his dhikr. Allahu Allah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Allah. Person starts his zikr. He makes zikr and engages in devotional exercises, salat, tahajjud, tilawat. He experiences a particular condition which the Sufis call hal. He now experiences something called hal, a particular state and condition. The Maulana said that this hal is of two kinds. The first is a growth of an involuntary condition. For example, like weeping and hearing the name of Allah. Person sometimes after doing zikr, now he gets that involuntary condition. That is his hal now, that he weeps on hearing the name of Allah or his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hears the Rasul name, he starts to weep, a different feeling. But that is an involuntary condition. He can't bring about that by himself, but that is his hal, that is his state, that's his condition. There are some slaves of Allah who, when they hear the Prophet's name, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathira, when they hear his name, they experience a peculiar mildness in their nature that brings tears to their eyes. Some of Allah's creatures have this hal. This is one condition of the heart. This is a hal, but it is involuntary. For it is not in man's powers to weep at will. That's just like love. It's not like a radio you could turn on and off. You can't weep at will and weep and don't weep. These are involuntary things. Or Some slaves of Allah experience at special occasions an ecstasy. Wow. They get a real high. They experience a sweetness, a joy, a real high that no intoxicant of this world could ever produce that type of high they get. Some slaves of Allah experience at special occasions an ecstasy and a sweetness and joy. This is also hali involuntary hal. So that's the first kind of hal that Allah gives a servant when he starts his zikr and he brings it. Second type of hal. The second kind of hal is the constancy of righteous deeds, known in Arabic as istiqamat, steadfastness. The Sufis call this too, they call it hal too. It means that there is such a constancy in righteous deeds, such a constancy, such istiqamat, that it comes to be recognized as second nature to man. It becomes second nature to man. Take salah for instance. When one offered it as a child, it was very burdensome. And parents induced and compelled them to offer salat, offer salat, offer salat. Gradually it became a habit. And then there is such constancy that he would not miss it at any cost. Inshallah. He may be bribed or threatened, but he will not miss salat again. So let's go back now to the first kind of hal. The Mawlana said that the first kind of hal, which seems very nice and sweet and pleasurable and enjoyable, the involuntary conditions, of course, it's all about involuntary conditions, weeping, crying, love, joy, ecstasy, sweetness. But remember, they are not the objective. The first kind of hal, the involuntary conditions, are not the objective. Nor will there be questions about it in the akhirat. Allah won't ask you why you didn't feel so and why you didn't feel so. So it's not the objective, and one will not be questioned about it in the akhirat. These include condition of weeping, sensational feeling of the heart, cheerfulness, ecstasy, etc. They are all involuntary conditions. If one does not get a pleasing condition in salat, that does not matter because that is not the objective. As long as he offers salat in the sunnah method, that is the most important thing. But you know, if it come, alhamdulillah, it's a gift if it come. But don't be hooked up on that and be looking for that and feel like it's the objective. But if it comes, it's a special gift, alhamdulillah. And then again, Allah will not ask on the day of Qiyamah, why you, why did you not get that feeling in Salat? Allah will not ask you that. That Ilyas, why you didn't get that feeling in Salat? Eh? Because that is involuntary. It's not by choice. And it is not reckoned. One do have to account for that. Therefore, one should not tax oneself much to get this condition. If it comes, it comes, but don't tax yourself to get it. So Mufti Taqi Damat Barakatum says, these are indeed praiseworthy, but not demanded. Maulana Ashraf Ali Tanwi Rahmatullah Ali explained this question in detail. Otherwise, this fact lay concealed in the secrets of tasawwuf. Only Maulana exposed it. Because it lay concealed in the secrets of tasawwuf. And people had made its conditions and hal the objective. They had made these things the objective. They imagined that those conditions were essential and wajib to tasawwuf. That one should get pleasure, he must get pleasure in worship and all those things. But the Mawlana Rahmatullah Alayh, Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, وَنَفَعَنَا بِعُلُومِهِمْ آمِينَ, made things very clear so that men may neither exaggerate nor detract. He said that having the hal is not the objective, though they are praiseworthy. They are praiseworthy. if Allah causes someone to possess these things, that is indeed good. And they must thank Allah for that. Do shukr, thank Allah for that. But they are not the objective. So do not pursue them vigorously. Thank Allah in any case for the ability to perform deeds. Do not seek pleasure in salat. This is so deep. Listen to this. Someone wrote to the Maulana that he had offered salat all his life, but did not find no sweetness and pleasure in salat. He asked for a treatment, how he could treat that. The Maulana wrote to him that it was not necessary and wajib for anyone to experience pleasure in salat. That's not wajib. If it comes, it comes, alhamdulillah, but that is not wajib. He asked him, and look at this deep question here. Do you offer salat to gain pleasure, for your own pleasure and to get sweetness in it, or for the sake of Allah? Or for the sake of Allah? If it is for the sake of pleasure, wow, then that salat is invalid. Isn't it deep? If you offer salat for pleasure, then that salat is invalid. The correct salat is the one that is only to seek Allah's pleasure and to worship Him, whether you enjoy it or you don't enjoy it and face hardship. That is the real thing. But if the sweetness comes, alhamdulillah, it's a plus, it's a bonus, it's praiseworthy. But don't seek it and run after it and make that your objective. I congratulate him. That's the little subtopic here. Maulana Gangohi, rahmatullah alayhi, nawwar Allahu markadahu wa nafa'ana bi ulumi ma'amin, said, I congratulate him who has never in his life found pleasure and happiness in the salat that he has been offering. I congratulate him still. Why? I do that, Maulana Gongo, he says, I do that because if he had found salat pleasant, he might have imagined that to be the objective and the essence of salat. Thus he would have gone astray because of that. Allah kept him away from hal and conditions, and thus saved him from misguidance. Understand this. So do not seek these pleasures in worship. One grows arrogance. Have to be very careful. One grows arrogance because of them, or takes them as the real objective. So, you know when, what is the problem, what happens with that, when somebody takes these things as the real objective? So if there happens to be a deficiency in that sometimes, then he feels deprived or unsuccessful. Sometimes if he performs his salat or makes his zikr and doesn't get a feeling, then he feels he's unsuccessful or he's deprived because he was thinking that to be the objective. Rather, one must act in a straightforward way according to Allah's command and the Prophet's Sunnah. A difference between ruhaniyat, spiritualism, and psychology. Dr. Abdul Hay, rahmatullah alayhi, disclosed a very surprising fact one day. Dr. Abdul Hay, Sheikh of Mufti Sab. Dr. Abdul Hay said, there is a very delicate difference between psychology and ruhaniyat, spiritualism, and it is not easy to distinguish where each of them applies. It's a thin line. He added, look at this example. There is a retired man, the man has retired. A retired man who lives happily on his pension. He has young sons who earn their living, so he don't have to worry about them. And his daughters are all married, and he is retired and he is living on pension. So he has no worry on his head and nothing to do. He prepares himself for salat even before the azan, and he offers tahiyatul wudu tu. And when he hears the adhan, he goes to the masjid. He even offers tahiyatul masjid and he waits for jamaat. Then he offers the fard with it. And he does all that very humbly and peacefully. He gets much peace and comfort from his salat. That is one person. On the other side, you have a hawker, a peddler, trader. There is also a hawker who shouts at the top of his voice, announcing his wares from morning to evening, charana, charana, ikriyal, ikriyal, kamsariyal, 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 announcing his wares from morning to evening. He earns his living and supports his wife and children. He earns a halal livelihood. When the adhan is called out, he thinks of salat. He thinks of salat. But he hopes to attend to his customers first, till the time of jamaat is kind of near upon him. He excuses himself, puts his cart to a side, pulls the cloth over his merchandise and runs into the masjid. He hurries through the wudu and stands in a row, saying, Allahu Akbar, and joins the jamaat. But his heart and his mind roam elsewhere. He gets temptations. Someone might steal from his cart. A customer might go back, and so on. He offers a quick turakat after the jamaat, and he runs to his cart, which he brings out. Which has more ruhaniyat and spiritualism in it? Whose salat has more spiritualism? We have seen one of them was very careful and humble, while the other rushed through his salat. But you know what? This second man's salat has more spiritualism than the first's, while the first really experiences psychological conditions in salat. I see the difference between psychology and spiritualism. The first really experiences psychological conditions in salat. Though they are not the salat conditions, no, they are not the salat conditions, nothing wrong with that, it's cool. Spiritualism, ruhaniyat, is derived from deeds and deeds alone. The hawker, he has an edge over the retired man because he, the hawker, finds time in spite of his business through a very short time. Sorry, though it may be a very short time, but he finds time in spite of his business, though a very short time, but he still finds time. He answers the command of Allah. And so his salat has more spiritualism in it. His deed is constant. The first person experienced hal in his salat in the first sense of the word, with all the nice feelings and sweetness and joy. He experienced hal in the first sense of the word. But this is not the objective and not determined therein. The second person's deed is steadfast. In spite of his occupation, his hal is one of his tikamat. In spite of his occupation, peddling, his deed is steadfast. This is hal in the second sense, istikamat, consistency. This is hal in the second sense, and this is what is desired and determined. Try to get that. If you get the first thing, the first hal in the first meaning, if you get that, thank Allah for that. Thank Allah for that, because it's a good gift. But if you do not get it, then it doesn't matter. Don't grieve. Continuity results in constancy. How do you get istiqamat? Continuity results in constancy. The second thing, constancy, is rarely involuntary. This is also deep. Constancy is something which is also involuntary. But because its means, the means to achieve it, are voluntary, so it is voluntary in that sense. Hence, if a man does something continuously, day after day, time after time, time after time, a man does something continuously, then he attains constancy and is still committing that deed. Then he does not miss that deed under any circumstances. Begin your deeds. The way to create constancy is to begin to perform deeds. Begin, just begin. Even if the heart is unwilling, just begin. And roaming about, even if the heart is unwilling and roaming about with the mind, just perform your deeds. Do not stop going to the masjid for salat. Practice every righteous deed in this way. After a few days, you will become steadfast. You will attain hal in the second sense, which the Sufis also call maqam. This is, you see, you have now achieved maqam. Maqam means station. Station, which is really istiqamat and steadfastness. You have achieved maqam, station. When one gains constancy, he is said to have achieved maqam in that deed, station in that deed. The Maulana also said, if love for Allah is involuntary, then why is it determined? And this is a very deep point. It is wajib for us to create the love of Allah. But you know what? Love for Allah, if love for Allah is involuntary, then why is it determined? We have pointed out that the voluntary affairs are determined. Of course they are determined by choice, by determination, by resolution. While man is not responsible for the involuntary ones. But to create love for Allah in the heart is determined, as it is also to create love for Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yu'minu ahadukum." None of you can be a true mu'min, mu'min a kamil, hatta kuna habba ilay, until I, the Messenger of Allah, become more beloved to him, miwalidihi, than his parents, wawaladihi, than his children, wannasi ajma'in, and of all mankind. So one wonders that if love is involuntary, why is it compulsory to create it in the heart? If it is something involuntary, how come it's now wajib and compulsory to create that love in the heart for Allah and His Rasul, that they must be more beloved than anything else? Love that is determined is rational. The Maulana Rahmatullah Alayhi made it clear that the love which is determined, which is demanded in this ayat, in the hadith, to love the Rasul more than anybody else, that Allah should be loved more than anybody else, the love which is demanded there is not natural love. Allah is not talking about natural love, but that love is rational love. Rational by intellect, by choice, ikhtiyar. In Arabic, it could be termed as al-hubbul aqli or al-hubbul ikhtiyari. A love, an intellectual love, or a love by choice. That is the love spoken about in the hadith and the love in the Quran about loving Allah. About loving Allah. In kuntum tuhibbun Allah, etc. When a man will think and think and use his intellect, who is most worthy of love in this universe? He's using in a rational way, in a thinking way, reasonable way. Who is most worthy of love in this universe? Then his intellect will tell him that Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are most worthy of being loved. Most worthy of being loved. The sentiments for that may not even rise in the heart as they rise for parents and children. No, it doesn't even rise for Allah like that. If someone is in this condition, then he must not think of himself as a kafir, but must convince himself that he has love for Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a rational way, though natural love is not of the same degree. A companion's case, a sahabi's case. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated the words, "La yu'minu ahadukum," none of you can be a true mu'min, "hatta kuna habba ilayhi," until I become more beloved to him, "min walidihi," than his parents, "wa waladihi," and his children, "wan nasi ajma'in," and the rest of mankind, all the other peoples. One of his sahaba submitted to him, "O Messenger of Allah, yes, I find you dearer. I find you dearer than everything else. But I think that you are not dearer to me than my life, than myself. Am I then a mu'min or not? Am I then a mu'min or not?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeated the hadith and patted on the bosom of the sahabi, who said spontaneously, "Al-an, ya Rasulullah, al-an, al-an. O Messenger of Allah, now, now." The words al-ana, al-ana, explained. The ulama have explained these words of the sahabi in different ways. The most common explanation is that the love that was missing appeared in his heart after the Prophet patted it, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, the sahabi now said, "Now, now it is there. Now it is there. Al-an, al-an." That's the most common explanation. But you know what? Allahu alam bisawab. What is the best explanation? The best explanation. Maulana Tanwi rahmatullah alayhi, however, has explained it in an interesting way. It is not that the sahabi was a disbeliever or did not have love of that degree till the Prophet alayhi salam patted him for, till the Prophet alayhi salam patted him, for that would imply that, Allah forbid, ma'ad Allah, it would imply that he was not a real believer until then. The truth is that the Rasul alayhi salam meant that it is wajib that a mu'min's heart, a believer's heart, have the rational love within it. It is wajib that a believer's heart have the rational love, the intellectual love, the love by choice, hubbi akli, hubbi ikhtiyari. It is wajib to have that within the heart. And iman is dependent on rational love, and iman is not dependent on natural love. That's what the Prophet ﷺ meant, says Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanwi. The companion on his part, the sahabi, had supposed that natural love was meant, which he did not have of that degree. By patting him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, by patting him on his chest, the Prophet told him, what he was actually saying was that he had not understood the hadith, which meant that the rational love should exceed everything. Then the sahabi said, al-an, al-an, now, now. Hence, he did not mean when he said al-ana, now, that he did not have that much love previously and had it now. If we go by that meaning, then it would imply that he was not a true Muslim till then and had become so afterwards. The meaning of the sahabi's words is that he understood the hadith now. Yani al-an fahim tul hadith. Now I have understood the hadith. He understood the hadith now. That the love in the hadith and the Quran, etc., means rational love. Not natural love, but intellectual love. And rational love is voluntary. Rational love is by way of choice, where you think. Although you love your wife and children, but azan call and you think, you know what? I have to respond to Allah. I have to love Allah more than my wife and children. You go. That is voluntary by choice. Rational love is voluntary, while natural love is involuntary. You don't have to make no effort to love your children or no effort to love your wife. That comes just like that. Hence, the latter is not determined with it. And iman is not dependent upon it. Rational love is determined. Then how to attain the love? The easy way. Maulana Thanwi As we come down to the end, pay very much great attention the easy way. Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi has shown how in his Nashrutib, let man first observe what reasons can there be for loving anyone. Think about it. Use your intellect. What reasons can there be for loving anyone? Like wealth, beauty, perfection, or beneficence. All these reasons, if we think about that. All these reasons are found in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the degree of perfection, while they are not found in anyone else in the universe. He has all these. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam possessed all these things: beauty, perfection, beneficence. When anyone would think of it in this way, then he will definitely grow a rational love for the Prophet alayhi salam, even though he may not have a natural love to that degree or does not sense it, although it is there. Do not pursue involuntary affairs. Before I close with this, I may say something, Allahu A'lam bis-sawab, but even a time comes when the rational love is there, that love by way of choice, by way of intellect, and it goes on and goes on until a person starts to develop al-hubbu tab'i, a person starts to develop a natural love for the Prophet alayhi salam. He starts to grieve for him and long for him, just as he would grieve and yearn for to see his wife, you know, and that same type of love also for Allah, that Allah becomes the mahbub, ishq, mashuk. It comes to that stage also to some of the great awliya Allah. It even turns into that later on. Anyhow, do not pursue involuntary affairs. That you don't have to pursue involuntary affairs, affairs in which you don't have no choice in. No? In short, therefore, we must not seek involuntary affairs, but must not neglect the voluntary ones. We must not neglect the voluntary ones. When it is time to do a righteous task, we must not drop it, but must devote ourselves to it. If all our life we cannot get the conditions, the ahwal and the hals, it doesn't matter. But we should persist in deeds till we get constancy and istiqamat. It is this firmness and constancy that is the objective. If the other things come, alhamdulillah. But it is this firmness, constancy, istiqamat, that is the objective. May Allah guide us. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruk wa natubu ilayk. Don't miss tomorrow. Tomorrow is how to establish a love with Allah. We know how to establish a love with a girl, writing letters and then talking to the father, sending gifts, all them kind of thing. But this is how to establish a relationship with Allah.
Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care. This is who I am, this is me. Nothing, everything, can't you see who I am?